Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank. Hobbo is in the house.
That is absolutely the case, as is Chris Sell.
And good evening, guys. How you doing?
It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. We've got a great show lined up. A last-minute acquisition allowed us to hook up with UVA head wrestling coach Steve Garland of the ACC champion Wahoos. Pulled off a massive upset up there in Pittsburgh this weekend. We've got him at the bottom of the hour. Before then, we've got our good friend and longtime contributor, Terry Gates, who is really pulling yeoman's work, coming back from Kentucky today, a long drive, 9 to 10 hours.
And down there visiting his mother who's ill, so we send our best wishes to her.
That is correct.
And we thank Terry for joining us tonight. And before we go to Terry, we should talk a little bit about some special shows that are coming up later this week, live from the ACC tournament. And Chris Sill is going to give you the times on that Thursday and Friday of this week.
Sure. So Thursday, Frank and Hobbo are going to be on air 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., right? And then on Friday from 5 to 6. 5:30 to 6.
Well, 5:30 to 6:30, I think, right? Yeah. So an hour each night.
So you're going to have who? You're going to try and get Donald Hand, Ralph Sampson, a couple of those
Dan Bonner. I think Dan Bonner is
confirmed. Dan Bonner's confirmed. He'll be our first guest on Thursday, right when we come on, because Dan tells me he's going to be doing the Raycom TV broadcast of the 7 o'clock game, which likely will be NC State and Duke. I think that one already is established. I don't think NC State has to beat anybody. Got to look at my bracket here. No, they do have to beat Pitt. So I'm anticipating it'll be NC State, but they have to beat Pitt in order to play on Thursday night against Duke.
Right. And we're reaching out to Corey Alexander, also Ralph Sampson, Donald Hand, who is the UVA representative as the ACC legend. More about Donald later in the show. But without further ado, let's bring on our good friend Terry Gates. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Very good. Perfect timing. And hopefully you got some strong coffee keeping you alive and kicking.
I'm doing fine.
Well, we're delighted to have you, and we hope things are doing better back in your home state and with regards to your mom and your family. And what are your impressions of Saturday's game and Virginia's positioning or preparations going into the tournament this week?
Well, you know, quite frankly, that was a big-time atmosphere. I mean, 22,000 people. They take their basketball seriously back in Kentucky, especially in Louisville. It was senior, you know, night or afternoon with it wasn't Rozier, it was Blackshear, I think, in Harrell. And I think Harrell is a
he's a junior, but he's leaving, I guess.
Well, he's really
he got
25 years old.
In a frame, put it that way.
Yeah. So, I think he used to be in the Marines or something, right?
Let's put it this way. It was Harrell's last home game.
Yes, yes. And he was a beast. I mean, 20 points and 12 rebounds. He really went out in style, and, you know, they suffered or actually probably benefited from the loss of Chris Jones, who got kicked off the team, and it looked to be that they moved the ball a lot better. Quentin Snyder, who's an old Ballard High School product, which I went to, was the beneficiary of the playing time from Chris Jones. And quite frankly, that sluggish start, second time in a week, and they were down 19-5, I think.
Yeah, they were down by
14.
Down 14, which is the largest deficit they've had all year.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's just a hole that on a top, you know, playing a top 20 school in their arena on the last Saturday in March, that's asking an awful lot. But I will say this, that's an unflappable bunch that the Cavaliers put out there, and they tied it up at 40 and, you know, got behind again. And I was right behind Brogdon as he shot that because I was sitting behind the bench. And sweet shot it was, but 20 seconds ago is not the end of the game. And unfortunately, the Louisville pulled out the play. As Patino said, that was his 64th option. And that the gentleman who hit that shot was 1-for-16 since January from the field.
Hey, he was due. So, you know, good for him. Tough for the Cavs. Does that have any impact going to the postseason, or is that a game that Virginia thinks, hey, we had a great chance to win, we didn't do it, now it's time to focus on the game on Thursday.
Well, you know, I think it exposed some things and some things that, you know, they've been lucky getting around. You know, without Justin Anderson, you know, you're playing some kids to step up. And I don't have a stat sheet in front of me here, but I'm looking at the the Syracuse game, and there was only 34 minutes that the starters didn't play that game, and Mike Toby took 16 of them. So your first-year trio only played 6, 6, and 4. I mean, Hall played 6, Shayok played 6, and Isaiah Wilkins played 4.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm looking at the stats. London played 37 minutes, Malcolm 36, Darian Atkins 31, Evan Nolte 35, Gill played 23. But
I got a question mark on that one for you, Jim, later on. But the three first-year kids, they played what?
Well, Hall didn't get in the
game. Hall didn't get in the game.
Right, okay.
Shayok played 12 minutes, and Wilkins played 3.
Yeah, 15 minutes. And I think they needed more of that. I mean, they needed more play. They need those guys to play well. And if you remember the pass in, out of bounds, underneath to Wilkins, and he got tangled up with Harrell, and that didn't end well.
Well, the other thing about, you know, you'll remember the first Louisville game, Virginia only committed 2 turnovers. Saturday night there were 13 turnovers, and I think, you know, of course that's one of the points of emphasis by Tony, as you well know, Terry. By the way, this is Terry Gates, a voice that Virginia fans recognize from his years on the radio. But, you know, when you give up 13 possessions in a low possession game, that makes a difference.
Right, and those turnovers were put into points. And, you know, as we well know, Virginia can play all the defense they want to in the world, but a lot of games that results in 0 points, it just stops the opponent from scoring. But Harrell got, you know, made that steal against Wilkins on an inbounds pass, and he goes down and dunks, and I don't know how that happens because there should have been a collision in midcourt for the ball, but, you know, that didn't. And there was a pass across the lane that I think Rozier might have got for a layup. So there was a couple turnovers that led directly to points, and that's how they got down by 19-5.
Yeah, some of it uncharacteristic because, you know, the Syracuse game, which, you know, I didn't see the first 10 minutes of that game. Frank and I did the show on Monday night, and we were driving home, but it sounded like they were kicking the ball all over the gym against Syracuse up in the Cary Dome, at least early.
Yeah, and you know, the hangover you alluded to, the first question to me, what does this do to them? I think you just pointed out they're not playing as well. And these are the dog days of the season. You've won the regular season. That's great. There's commendable that Perantes misses a game. He breaks his nose or he breaks it. Losing Justin Anderson for 7 games and add another game on for an appendectomy, those are all things they've overcome. But we can probably say they're not at the top of their game. But having said all that, your first-year kid hadn't stepped up the last 2 games. To lose by 1 at Louisville at the last second shot on senior night in front of 22,000 people is not the end of the world. But there are several more Louisville games out there, and that, you know, when you play in the ACC tournament and when you play in the Sweet 16. So it's something they're going to have to figure out how to get around, and part of getting around it might be getting Justin Anderson back as quickly as possible, and that's going to be a process.
And speaking of that, good news today from a reliable inside source. I've learned that Justin Anderson did some light shooting today and looked pretty good. I'm sure they're going to start easing him back within the context of the regular practices, but I think it's a great sign that they're letting him shoot the ball with his left hand and breaking his wrist on his follow-through and all that. I mean, to me, that has to be a positive.
Oh, it is. I mean, and if you know, they are not number 2 or number 3 or 4 in the country without him. I mean, they've had a body of work that they haven't lost, so they stayed up there. And you're not going backwards this late in the year if you don't lose a basketball game. But they're not the same team without him, and it was an opportunity for some guys to step up. I think Gill stepped up in his absence some games where he wasn't playing so well early. I thought Toby played a very remarkable game under tough circumstances in the Yum Brand Center on Saturday afternoon. I
mean, yeah, because you look at the ACC tournament bracket, and there's certainly every chance that Virginia is going to see Louisville again on Friday night at 7 o'clock.
Louisville. There's no E in that word. Louisville.
No, sorry.
Okay.
You got to remember, Jim is from Pittsburgh.
You know, we only know three words up in Western Pennsylvania. You know,
that's snow from there.
Steak and potatoes and cold beer.
Potato and cold beer. That's four words, but you know, steak, potato, and beer. You know, yeah. we'll drink it warm or cold. No. But anyway, you know, Louisville's just a very physical basketball team. Which, if you were right behind the Virginia bench, I'm sure you can appreciate that.
Yeah, in losing Jones, which was there's a lot going on there we even go to get into, but I'm told for some friends that that entire team was relieved when he was relieved of his scholarship or whatever, or was kicked off the team because the ball wasn't being shared. And the person who was going to benefit from that, they told me before the game, was Harrell, and look, he scores 20, you know. So,
well, it almost seems, having watched Louisville quite a bit this year, and seeing them in person as well, you know, the Cardinals as a team, it's always felt like to me they were trying to break out. And you know, I have to tip my hat to Coach Bennett, his staff, and the Virginia players, because that atmosphere once they got up in that first half was dangerous. That's the kind of situation where a lot of teams cave.
You know, and I cannot. I'm in the corner of JPJ, so I don't really hear the noise like you would if you're in the middle. But sitting behind the Virginia bench when they got up by, you know, when they got up by 14, it's loud. It's loud, and it was a tough environment. And you know, kudos to them for coming back and hanging the game and getting to 40. But you know, they needed some help. They can't afford from this point on the season to be spotting teams 14 points in the first half and turnovers, leading to easy baskets and just not getting the ball to fall on the offensive end.
Yeah, especially now, you know, the loss Saturday night hurt. My wife said I didn't speak to her the rest of the night, which I apologize, Linda. But beyond that, you know, the losses from this point forward really hurt because, you know, it – knocks you out of the ACC tournament, or worse yet, knocks you out of the NCAA tournament. So you're right. I mean, you want to bring your A game from tip off.
Hey, enough of this doom and gloom nonsense. Come on.
They have created expectations, and they do it with smoke and mirrors at times, and they do it with effort. But
this team can be offensively challenged at times, particularly without Justin Anderson. That's just a fact.
Yeah, and then what I was getting to. You know, Shayok, he has played well, but if you remember one of his three-pointers, the towards was fine, but it was about a foot and a half too far. From the left, and I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, he was under pressure, and you know, he wants to take that shot. I give him credit for that. He's never shied away from shots, but that was a big time shot that was, you know, had a little bit of. It looked like a Justin Anderson shot at the beginning of the game.
You know, a positive coming out of last week is Evan Nolte actually made some threes, and hopefully that'll give him a boost of confidence going into Greensboro and beyond.
I tell you, I've been impressed with him because he, you know, anyone who's supposed to be a shooter and shooting 20% from the three-point area, he battles out there. I mean, when he plays Virginia Tech, they put a guard he has to chase. He's guarding a 6'1", you know, guard, a perimeter player, and they run him through picks, and Louisville's post him up with bigger players. So opposing teams try to take advantage of him, but he's a battler, and he hit a big three. And I think I felt sorry for him on that inbounds pass that, you know, it kind of had a fade to it. But, you know, you can't be counting on scoring with 2.5 seconds to go and going 94 feet. But I think he's played well. He plays heady. You know, he gets the rebounds he's supposed to get, and he's still taking threes. And if he's not going to take a three, he shouldn't be in the game. But
I couldn't agree with you more. Terry, stay with us. We're going to bring you back on the other side. We are having a good conversation tonight with Terry Gates. We'll bring him back on the other side. And later in the show, we've got UVA head wrestling coach Steve Garland. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.